Can we walk this road together? I can't travel it alone. I need someone beside me to help me find my way back home.
Hello, this is Dan Prinzing, Executive Director of the Wasma Center for Human Rights in Boise with Adam Thompson.
Hey there.
Welcome to Voices of Idaho. Today we're talking with Idaho educator and legislator John McCresty. Welcome, John.
Thank you so much for having me.
So much of our discussion at the center revolves around the idea that there is a pattern to injustice, that there is a starting point, and that it begins to devolve within a community. We reference, of course, the spiral of injustice. Is there a particular level in the spiral or the concept of a whole that you'd like to talk about today?
You know, what I'd like to share today is a quick story of my experience with discrimination, and in particular, discrimination in the workplace that I've experienced, unfortunately. And I just feel like it's an example of what is really taking place in our community. This was a number of years ago, and I was applying for a teaching job at a local school. And while we were going through that process, the interview seemed to be going along really well, and it seemed like I was well qualified for this job, and seemed to be standing head and shoulders above the other applicants. And so as we were leaving from the principal's office to walk over to the room where I would be teaching, the principal asked just a very offhanded comment about if I was married. Well, at that point in time, marriage equality wasn't the law of the land, and so I was not married, but I had a partner, a same-sex partner. And so I told him, no, that I'm partnered. And then from that point, the entire interview just kind of went downhill from there. The end of the story is that I did not get that job. And there was a certain amount of dignity that you end up walking away from and leaving behind, a certain amount of humility that you kind of have to swallow, which isn't really fair, but it is an unfortunate reality in the community that we live in. You know, I feel like people, you know, when we talk about employment discrimination, a lot of time, particularly with people who are LGBTQ, that people think that, you know, you go and do your job, and then for some reason somebody finds out that you're gay or that you're trans, and then you get fired. Well, and that's a real legitimate part of employment discrimination, but there's also just not getting the job to begin with. And so that was a very disappointing experience for me at that point in time.
Well, let's clarify, John, because it is true in the state of Idaho, you can be fired or lose housing if you're gay or perceived as being gay.
That's entirely true.
But you're even saying that it can creep into, in your case, an interview process.
The hiring process. Absolutely.
All of a sudden, a piece of your identity began to overshadow your capabilities.
Yes. And, you know, it was one of those moments in time where you had to make this sudden choice. I could either be authentic and real and let this prospective employer know that I had a same-sex partner, or I could deny my spouse's love in that moment and my partnership with that person in that moment, and then go through the rest of my working career in that particular location and have to hold on to that lie.
It almost seems to me to harken back to the days of don't ask, don't tell.
Exactly.
I'm just going to hide a part of me, never bring it into the workplace, and never enjoy the freedom that other employees have.
Exactly.
This is Shelby Simpson's Freedom of Thought. To not live in fear because of the past generation's courage. Not of our own. In this country alone, the minute we leave our mother's womb, we are free. We may think, believe, and love freely from that point forward. It is shrugged and unappreciated. Approximately 4,200 religions. We have the right to choose our own. It was not given, it was fought for. To be taken for granted. We are allowed to define our emotions, our thought processes completely our own, independent of others. We are free to manifest one's beliefs. I wish you not the audacity to subaltern another's way of life. Let us differentiate between everyone else with the intent to pursue our own happiness.
Well, John, what you have described with, and certainly when we frame it according to the spiral of injustice, we begin to see how injustice can devolve with any community, whether that be our work community, our neighborhood community, the state at large. Because once we go from discrimination, we have now begun to marginalize or dehumanize or just even not recognize the totality of the person. That's where we begin to counter that. Who are the upstanders? What can we draw upon within ourselves and expect from each other to stand up and step in to confront injustice? How do we confront in the workplace?
I would say that for me, what I have chosen to do is to share my story, be open about who I am, and to be an advocate, certainly for the LGBTQ community, but also for any other marginalized communities. You know, if it happens to one of us, it will happen to somebody else. Whether it is sexual orientation or gender identity, whether it's gender, race, religion, if it happens to one of us, it happens to all of us. And it's important that we speak out when those moments of injustices occur, that we acknowledge that it's something that's real within our community, and it's something we need to do something about.
Well, and I often reference that any one of us or all of us at some point has been or could be the other. Race, religion, ethnicity, nationality, gender, orientation, ability, that mm-hmm. list that people used to divide. Mm-hmm. To create an us and a them. And at that moment, any one of us can become the them.
There are so many aspects of our lives that are interwoven. And, it's that moment when you sit down with somebody and find out who they really are. You also learn about yourself. And there are those opportunities, there are those, there's those forks in the road that we choose to do something that, sets us on a path that's honorable or a path that is significantly less honorable. To kind of come back to this idea of speaking out and making sure that people know what our stories are.
So you've not been shy to share your story, and really for the sake of your colleagues in the Idaho legislature, why we need to add the words.
Absolutely. I feel like I see it so often with my colleagues in the legislature that for them, that job discrimination is this thing where you have your job, and if you just kept your mouth shut and not let somebody know that you were gay, that you're trans, then you wouldn't get fired. And there's so much more depth to the issue of employment discrimination, with housing discrimination, with regard to public accommodations, with regard to education, that again, just coming back around to, it's important that we share our stories. It's important to be in the room when those discussions are being had.
I like that concept, John. It's important to be in the room. That we owe that to each other. That each of us needs to be present in the room, speaking not only for ourselves, but for one another, for a much broader community in which we find ourselves living. How can we support one another? Is there a particular, when you step into the Idaho Anne Frank Human Rights Memorial, is there a particular quote that speaks to you or helps to really encapsulate what is the message?
You know, maybe I'm just kind of tapping into a more political vein today, but I'm going to go with the Declaration of Independence, where it states, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men, all people, are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness."
It really is such a simple concept.
It really is.
Now, if we could only uphold it and recognize, don't we all deserve it?
We will.
That's why we will continue to echo, not in my town, not in my state. Idaho is too great for hate.
With you right here beside me, we'll find our home with peace again.
Here we are on formerly native land, right? And one of the things that I've been looking at recently is the way that we serve native students. Serving native students means we have to figure out how to effectively build relationships with native communities, right? Well, education has a broken relationship with native communities in the West because of what we did in what were known as Indian schools, right? And those schools were meant to indoctrinate and exterminate. And language was a big part of that, right? How things were framed.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Wasman Center podcast. That last clip was with the Director of Student Diversity and Inclusion at Boise State, Francisco Salinas, and that episode will be airing on the 25th of November, so check it out then. The Voices of Idaho is created by Dan Prenzing and produced and edited by me, Adam Thompson. We'll see you in 2 weeks.